In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Since the beginning, and God is trying to make people understand Him, yet people most of the time misunderstand God. And instead of doing His will, they tend to do their own will. From the beginning, God made Adam to stay with him in the Garden of Eden in an attempt to make Adam know the thought of God and the ways of God and the will of God. Unfortunately, he failed. Over time, God sent prophets and righteous people conveying his message to the world. And they failed to communicate the message of God to people so they might understand. So he came by himself. And during his incarnation, he showed his will, he manifested the way of his thinking to people, which most of the time surprised people, and sometimes surprised us even in the New Testament. God has a way of thinking that unfortunately people resist and don't accept. And from time to time during his incarnation, the Lord Jesus Christ would do something that would astonish people, would make people think, raise their eyebrows and say, wow, what is this? We're not used to this. And one of those incidents, the story, when the Lord Jesus Christ passed by the tax office and he saw a collector, a tax collector named Levi. And again, he threw a surprise to the people. He asked this tax collector to follow him. And I tell you the truth, Levi, in the eyes of people, was the least among people to be a follower of Jesus. You look at him as a sinner, as a traitor, because he serves the Roman obsessors. He serves the Roman government. He serves the Romans who are there to oppress people and take their money and their land. He's there to help the Romans to oppress the Jews. So to the Jews, Levi was a sinner, a tax collector and a sinner. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ surprised everyone by calling this tax collector to follow him. And when we read the Bible, we find that this is not the first time that God will take the least expected person to do a great thing. Like we are celebrating now the Feast of Saint Mary. Think of Saint Mary, a young orphan, a girl who has no position in the community, has no family, has no power. And God will choose her from the whole world to be his own mother. Who would have expected that? It's one of God's surprises. It surprises to us, but God, from the beginning, showed that he cares about the least among us. When we read in the Old Testament, we find that when God chooses a king, he chooses someone like David the king, the shepherd. Even his own father did not expect David becomes a king. Yet God chose David. God chose a lot of meek people, a lot of small things to do great things. I tell you the truth, even if you think about it, and you think of what is the greatest creation of God, if we ask a question, God created a lot of great things. What is the biggest thing that God created? Some people might think of mountains, or maybe the earth, or maybe one of the planets, or maybe the sun. Like, they will just look at big things and say, oh, God created this and God created that. This is bigger, this is bigger. Well, the truth is, the biggest thing that God created is very, very small that your eyes cannot see. The atom, the electron, the proton, and out of this little creature, that little thing that you cannot see with your naked eyes, he created everything else. So when he wanted to create big things, he used small things, very tiny little things, the least, to create great things. God always have this mind, has this way of thinking. He does not despise little things. Unfortunately, even now in the New Testament, after all the manifestations and after all the ways and the means that God used to convey his way of thinking, we are still, till today, think our own way, not God's way. Sometimes even within the church. Like sometimes even within the church, we would like to only fit within the church scenes. People who are righteous and look at the sinners as they are not supposed to be here. As if churches are like hotels for saints, not a hospital for sinners. The church is a hospital for sinners, not a hotel for sins. And the truth is, every saint that we believe that he is a righteous person, and we praise him as a great person, most of the time you will find that he is a very meek person. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his calling to Levi, is revealing something very important to the church in the New Testament, telling us, do not ever despise any of those little ones that you might think they are good for nothing. We might think, or the Jews might think, that Levi is good for nothing but being a traitor and being a sinner. But Christ went beyond that, and so Matthew, a great disciple, an evangelist, one of the writers of the gospel, he saw him a martyr. He saw him a great witness for the work of God. We as Christians, we have to change our mentality in how we perceive people. We Christians have to have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ in accepting others. And the world, even outside, unfortunately, when you try to build a church like this one, you have to go to the town or the city to change the zoning of this land to be a place of worship. A place of worship. As if we're telling God, this is your place and you stay there, you don't get out of here. And whoever comes here is a saint. This is a place of worship. That's where we worship you, and only here we worship you. If this is the way that the world goes, that shouldn't be our way. A place of worship for Christians is everywhere. The Samaritan woman asked Christ, where are we supposed to worship? Because my father's telling us that we should worship on this mountain. You Jews tell us that we should worship only in Jerusalem. And Christ made another surprise. He said, it's neither on this mountain nor in the temple. Time will come when the place of worship of God will be everywhere. The place of worship of God will be my heart, my house, my office. Will be everywhere I go. The whole world should be a place of worship for God. And the whole world is full of sinners. And God is accepting that. God doesn't accept the sin, but he accepts sinners. We shouldn't just make the church as a holy place and everything else is filthy and full of sins. We as Christians have a mission to make a church everywhere and to become a church in our daily life. To go out, accept the sinners. Not to accept the sin, though. But think of it. If I'm a sinner and I feel like this is the place of worship and no one is allowed through these doors unless he is a saint, I will shy away from the church and I'll go away. So many times we intimidate people when they come to church. So many times we intimidate them because we only accept them if they will fit within a frame. This frame is if he's a boy, he has to be a deacon, he has to know the tasbihah by heart, he has to learn all the hymns, and if not, he's a bad boy. And she's a girl, she has to fit within certain attire, within certain way of talking. If not, she's a bad girl. Who are we to judge those people? Who are we to consider this place only for us? And to limit God only to this place of worship that's assigned by the city. God's place is everywhere, and God's people are everybody. And we, as children of God, as Christians, have this name on us, the name of Christ, should do his work, should help him, not work against him. We should go and seek Levi at the tax office and bring him to God. This church is only a recharging place. We should come here to church to be recharged, then live our daily life in the church of outside these walls, which is our life, our daily life. We convert our daily life into a church. And we should worship God in that church, the daily church, my life, the virtual church that's everywhere I go. I should worship God in every dealing I deal with people. I worship Him in every word I say, whether I am here in this building or anywhere else. And I should accept people the way they are without judging them. And when they see me and the church of my house, and the church of my life, they will change. They will leave sin. Sometimes we push people away from God. We push people away from God by intimidating them and by looking down to them, thinking that we are saints and they are sinners. Levi became a saint. And the moment he became a saint, he became a genuine saint. And to prove it, the first thing he did, that he gave Christ and his disciples a great feast in his own house. Oh, that's great. That's very good. That's very appreciated. Thank you very much, Levi, for the great feast that he threw for Christ and his disciples. But that was about it? Was he just trying to show off? No. Actually, what's more important than making this feast for Christ and his disciple was what happened after. He did not only invite Christ and his disciples. Whom did Levi invite? Did he invite the Pharisees and the scribes, telling them, now I am a righteous person, now I'm a follower of Jesus, now I am not a tax collector anymore, because following Christ will never give him a chance to go back to the Roman government and ask for the same position. He's out of it and forever. He's out of it. He cannot become a tax collector anymore. So probably now he has a better life with or among the elites and among the righteous people, quote unquote. So he should have invited the Pharisees, scribes, priests, and high priests in this feast to celebrate Christ and his disciples. The surprise that Levi did, that he invited whom? He invited other tax collectors. He invited his colleagues. Not just because now he's a follower of Christ, he despised his own people. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. He told them, listen, I met Christ and I changed. Part of my change is to show this change. And part of my change is not to despise you. Part of my change is to be like my master. And as he invited me to follow him, I want to invite you too to come and taste the sweetness of Christ and follow him also. Come. Matthew, I believe that Matthew had in his heart a burning desire to see one or more tax collectors to follow Christ too. That was the main purpose why he invited tax collectors. Are we like that? Are we like that? Sometimes people, the moment they start to know some verses from the Bible or become a servant in church or start to teach Sunday school, who despise others, look down to others and say, well, now I'm better than everybody else. And he will start to boost up with his knowledge and his service and what he knows and looking down to others. And even if he doesn't say it, he would feel it in his heart. But who would feel that he's still poor in the spirit, that he's still like Levi, he still want to invite his friends to come to Christ as well. And he want to take the church out of its buildings. And he want to invite the church people who need the Savior and who need Christ and who need redemption from their sins and who need repentance as well as him. And Christ made it very clear that he will only heal people who admit their sickness, because he came to heal the sick, not the righteous. If I consider myself a righteous person, I'm out of the hospital. I cannot receive any medications. I cannot receive any medical care. I consider myself whole. I don't need medications. I don't need a physician. But if I consider myself a sinner, a sick person who needs the great physician, who needs Christ to heal him and to forgive his sins, first, I will never despise others. And of course, I will receive the grace of God and receive the healing of God from his hands when he looks at my poverty. He will have compassion in his heart on me. But if I boost up and if I'm thinking that I am a sinner, Christ himself will never come and heal me, because he only heals people who admit that they are sick. We pray today that God will give us humbleness to admit our sickness and our weakness, and to accept others too who might be despised by the world, for us not to despise them, but invite them to follow Christ as Levi did in his first thing he did with Christ. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.